I'm just going to share a little bit with us tonight, probably take the next 20 minutes just to exhort us in a couple of things. And so I want to speak to us from Luke chapter 1. And it's in anticipation as we move towards Christmas Day, because we're not quite there yet, right? We're getting there. And, you know, one of the things I love about Christmas is it's a birthday. We're celebrating a birthday. And I don't know about you, but I love birthdays. I think they're fantastic, except the getting older part. But I guess we can't have it both ways, right? So, you know, you look at these wonderful presents up here, and they remind me of birthdays, but also just the wonder of Christmas and giving and gifts. And tonight we're going to look at the birthday that came before Christmas. Because we're not there yet, right? Still got 2 weeks to go. And so we're going to read about John the Baptist's birthday and some of the significance around that. And then in 2 weeks' time, we get to celebrate John's best friend's birthday, Jesus. These two birthdays are very close together. We find them in the Gospels very close. And so we pick up the story in Luke chapter 1, 8 days after the birth of John. There are a whole crowd of people that have gathered, and they've gathered to do two things. They've gathered for John's circumcision, and they've gathered to name John. He hasn't been named yet. And so here's how the story goes in Luke 1, verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son, and her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet, the first signs of an iPad. And he wrote on the writing tablet, "His name is John." And they all wondered. Now, let's just pause there. Zechariah is mute. And we know he's mute. We haven't read that part because an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gabriel nonetheless, appeared to Zechariah and promised him a son. But the problem is Zechariah is 70. And so he doesn't believe the angel. He's filled with unbelief and kind of struck by a sense of, could this really be true? And his unbelief results in him going mute. It's a miracle. His mouth is stopped. And you can almost imagine Zechariah, you know, he's called for the writing tablet because he can't speak, but he writes, "His name shall be John." But imagine being Zechariah. Imagine for 70 years of your life trying to explain to people why you don't have children. So for 70 years, no kids. Him and Elizabeth, no children. Imagine the conversations over dinner, friends invited over, you know, that awkward conversation of why we don't have kids. And now he's having a son and he can't speak. So 70 years he can talk, no kids. Now he's having a kid and he can't speak. He's mute. Talk about a constant reminder that it's good to believe what God says. I mean, if it were Elizabeth that were mute, it possibly would have been better for Zach, but certainly not her. Moving on. So it's 9 months, 9 months of bliss for Elizabeth, 9 months of great joy for her, and I think 9 long frustrating months for Zach. I think he was frustrated. No doubt this would have been a time of soul searching. No doubt this would have been a time to ponder, to pray, to repent, and to listen, men, to listen. I think that in these 9 months, God has really got Zach's attention. And I think what's happening is what's unfolding here is that it's beginning to sink into Zach's heart and mind. what significance these days were going to have. These were going to be days like no other days. John, his son, was going to be the forerunner, best friends with Jesus, the Messiah. And so as he writes his name, and they all stand there wondering, why did he not write Zechariah Jr.? This is what happens. Look at verse 64. And immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited. Let's just hear that again. He has visited. God has visited and redeemed his people. He is prophesying. Verse 69, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. I want to just draw out two observations for us to look at. The first one is what I've called silent night. Seasons of silence, as we see here in Zach, are often good for the soul. You see, baby John is 8 years old, and as I said, they've gathered, and they're not naming him Zechariah Jr. This is not protocol. This isn't what happens in a Jewish household. This isn't the norm. And even Elizabeth, she's stirred, and she says, no, his name is not to be Zechariah. And so they're left scratching their heads, and she says, his name is to be John, and they're bewildered. They don't know what's going on. And the immediate response from the family and the relatives is, but Elizabeth, there is nobody in our family history with the name of John. I mean, where does this come from? We don't have any brothers or cousins or distant relatives or uncles. No one in our family is named John. And so they signal to Zach, and Zach is brought to the front, and he asks for the writing tablet, and he writes, his name is John. In other words, Zach is convinced that the angel Gabriel is right. He's right. This is going to be a significant time in history. And immediately his mouth is opened. Now, what I want you to notice is that I think not only does Zechariah then prophesy, which we're going to look at shortly, but actually he himself is a prophetic picture. So two things happen. One is that at this moment, Zechariah's mouth is loosed and he prophesies. But I want you to see that also what has happened to him these 9 months of silence is a prophetic picture of exactly what's been happening in the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel has been without a word from God for 400 years. From the book of Malachi to the opening stories of the Gospels is 400 years between testaments, 400 years of silence. God hasn't said anything. The nation of Israel are beginning to doubt that God will ever act. Will God ever move? Will God ever be faithful? Will he be true to his promise? Nothing but silence. In fact, not only do we have to go back 400 years before the last prophet, but who was it that spoke to Zechariah? It was the angel Gabriel. When last did he speak to a human being? 600 years ago, before this moment. And so you can imagine the doubt. You can imagine the sense of frustration in the people of God. But then, after so many years of silence, the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah and Elizabeth and he says, you're going to have a boy. And he's not going to be any boy. He's going to be like Elijah. That was the prophecy about him. He's going to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And you can imagine the joy at first for Zechariah, the unbelief. And so what do we learn? I think what we learn from this prophetic picture is that there are seasons of silence that are good for the soul. And I want to encourage you that this season we're in now, called Christmas, yes, it's a busy season, but it doesn't have to be. And I think it's vitally important that you take time out and you carve out time in this season to reflect on what it really is all about. Seasons of silence do something wonderful for our souls. I think for Zechariah, it was incredible. Not just the relief at the end, but the lack of distractions. What does it mean for you? I think what it means for us is turning the TV off, deleting the app from your phone, just taking a step back from this crazy world and acknowledging that seasons of silence can actually be really helpful. In fact, more than just helpful, powerful. Where we recalibrate, where we realign ourselves. And I think this is what happened for Zechariah. It was time for him to ponder, time for him to think, time for him to repent, time for him to listen. And I think what seasons of silence do for us is they help us to allow the gospel, what Christ has come to do, to sink deep into our hearts. There is a close connection between stillness and majesty. David says to us, "Be still and know that I am God." And I think sometimes it's the reason why we don't know enough and we don't sense his majesty, the weight of his glory, the sense of the gospel. So, first thing we learn, silent nights are often good for the soul. But secondly, second point is joy to the world. Seasons of silence are broken by songs of joy. And as we see this, Zechariah is bursting forth in praise. He literally is rejoicing. Why? Why? Why is he rejoicing? Is it just the relief of now being able to speak? And I would suggest no. It's what's behind it. And what is behind it? Well, let's look again at verse 57 and 58. It says this, "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her. And they rejoiced with her." Now, at first you might think, well, there's nothing significant or surprising about this. You know, when women have children, friends rejoice. You know, that's normal, normal behavior. It seems to be the case that this was also quite significant because she was fairly old too. Not only was Zechariah in his 70s, but surely she was close. And even more reason to rejoice. But did you notice what Luke says in this verse? This isn't just a stroke of chance or a stroke of luck. This isn't just good timing. This isn't just good luck. Look at what Luke says in verse 58. "When her relatives and neighbors heard," here it is, "what the Lord had shown great mercy to her." This is the Lord's doing. And how did he do it? He showed her great mercy. It was his mercy that the Lord had shown to Elizabeth. The root of their joy, the explosive nature of joy, is found when we know mercy. Souls that know mercy sing for joy. Look at how Zechariah responds. Not only are the relatives rejoicing, not only are the neighbors rejoicing, Zechariah is rejoicing. What does he say? Verse 64, "Immediately," it says, "immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed and he spoke blessing God. praise is the first thing that comes out of his mouth. This is what he says. Blessed be the Lord, verse 68, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. I mean, it could have been a very selfish moment for Zach. It could have been a song where he says, Lord, you've given me a son. But his song is not about him. His song is about, Lord, you are sending your son. His song is all about Jesus, not about John. Did you see that? It's about God visiting his people. It's about God redeeming his people. It's about mercy. It's about the faithfulness of God. It's about God deciding to visit earth. Just let that sink in. Christmas is about God visiting earth. When you think about it, the children of Israel must have felt like they'd been on a losing streak. For 400 years, silence. Some of us know what that's like, you know, especially for us who support Liverpool. Or maybe, you know, if you don't support Liverpool, Proteas, cricket, you know, in the World Cups. We kind of know the feeling, what it's like to be on a losing streak. And Israel are frustrated. They've been on this losing streak for a long time. But this was a moment that would change everything forever. God is going to visit us. He's going to visit us with two birthdays. John the forerunner, Jesus the fulfillment and the promise. And he's come to save. Mercy brings forth joy. Christmas is a season for great joy. And Christmas is a season for moments of silence. Let's not miss this season. Let's make the most of it. 9 months of silence, 9 months of pent-up praise, exploding in worship. Silent nights are good for the soul, but explosive praise, because of mercy, is our privilege. May we enjoy this season. Make the most of it, church. Carve out time for silence and carve out time for joy. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the amazing gift of the scriptures. Thank you that we're not introduced to you at age 30. Thank you that we were introduced to you as a baby. Humble beginnings. And I pray that we would contemplate. Lord, help us to be a people who are able to be still. To take time out and to think about your life, all of your life, not just the cross, although amazing and beautiful, but even your birth and your younger years and your teaching, your miracles. Lord Jesus, my prayer tonight is that you would bless us with a sense of your wonder. Bless us with the ability to remove distractions. Bless us with the ability to carve out time for silence, where we too can be like Zechariah and experience great joy. That seasons of silence can be broken with great praise. And it might not just be from our lips, it might be our hearts exploding when we realize who you are and what you've done. So I pray for us as a church, give us many, many silent nights in these weeks to come. and also give us many opportunities of explosive joy as we realize who Jesus is and what he's done for us. This is my prayer for us. In Jesus' name, amen.